one.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, lock loaded here for another edition of the Anything Goes podcast called Project Action. Joining us for the first time, you might be, because our guest is none other than NHRA legend Ron Capps. Well, you never know who our guest is going to be each and every week. This week it is Ron Capps, but if you are new to the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button, leave a rating or review, let us know what you think of the show, and hopefully you come back for more. You want to give me a follow on social media, it's at JimBeaver15, and talking NHRA, talking Ron Capps today. Big win there at Pomona for the Winter Nationals. Yes, the Winter Nationals happening in August. Well, I guess what, technically July of this year. Probably the hottest Winter Nationals ever. I think, what was it, 150 degree temps on the tarmac there, in the water box. So, blistering hot temps in Pomona for the Winter Nats. But Ron Capps going to give us all the details on the W, and who knows, anything else that's happened in the world of motorsports. Ron Capps, great personality. Looking forward to having him on the show. Before we jump into that, though, I want to tell you about one of our amazing partners. Do you own or rent your home? Well, I'm sure you do. And I know it can be hard work, but you know what's not? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. And with that, it's time to roll into this interview with Ron Capps. To welcome my good friend Ron Capps to the line. And Ron, I got to ask you, man, how was the Winter Nats in August, or I guess end of July, August, but it was a warm one for a Winter Nats, huh?
Yeah, Jim, it was probably the most adverse conditions we've had in maybe even as long as I've been driving funny car, which has been a while. It was, obviously COVID made us change the Winter Nationals to July. And with that being said, they made it to Summer Nationals, but it was still had that feeling of being in Pomona. So it was hot. It was tricky. Track conditions were, very hard to adapt to for crew chiefs and drivers. And we saw track temperatures upwards of 150 degrees. So you're trying to get that 11,000 horsepower to stick to the rubber on the track. And it's a legendary track as it is. It's not easy. So it felt like winning that race, you felt like you win a couple races at the same time.
Well, and I know that was kind of my question. It's like, Winter Nats is always running Pomona because of where it's at. It's not a place you don't want to go visit Pomona in the middle of the summer. I mean, it's just not a place you want to visit. Most people kind of go along the beaches, things like that. So I kind of knew this was going to be warm. But, all your guys' setup data, you guys have stuff for years there, for that track. But, I mean, a lot of it, I got to think, was kind of out the window with this one, right?
Yeah, for the gearheads listening to your show, I mean, you have these new things that you try. Within a year or so, we've had a little better maybe ignition, a little better coils, a little, cylinder heads might be just a little bit different. Superchargers might be making a little bit better boost. Little things that you can't necessarily go back to a year ago or 2 years ago to a track that was hot. Let's say Norwalk, Ohio, maybe that it was maybe 130-something degree track. You can sort of use some of that data, but things have changed and evolved as they do in every motorsport. You got new parts and pieces. So our crew chiefs go back and they do look at that data and they do see what they did before. And they can sort of take a little bit of it. The good ones, I should say, can do that and use that data. But we were sort of in deep waters because we didn't have the heat in any of the data we had in the previous years to even look back at. So, I brag about the Napa know-how, my guys, and they definitely proved it this weekend because every run we were at least a tenth ahead of everybody. And that's, when you say that in drag racing, that's some pretty quality cars. So it was, it felt good at the end of the day to look back and see how dominant it was.
Yeah. How is you as a driver? Because I know, like, I've got Vegas Torino coming up here in 2 weeks, and I have to prepare for that race because it's so hot. It's in the Nevada desert in the middle of August, and I have to prepare differently. You know, I take IVs beforehand because of the heat. And you guys, I mean, you know, I run a three-layer suit. Your guys' suits are, you know, your impact suits are even thicker than that, you know, and you guys are completely closed, enclosed cockpit. I mean, do you have to – something like that, how does your body adjust, Ron? Because, I mean, I know you're not in the car for a super long time, but you just sit there and got to be roasting on the start line.
Jim, it's a perfect balance of oats and barleys and some cardio. it's funny. I don't, you know, I'm getting up there in age a little bit compared to some of these new kids. We saw that Justin Ashley had to get out of his car and gave my teammate a single round of final because he had a heat, you know, condition and was passed out in the car, I guess. So, you know, over the years, you've watched these NASCAR drivers go into this complete, you know, fitness craziness, you know, Casey Kane and Jimmy Johnson and guys like that. And then you see that these same athletes sometimes have problems when it gets to be extreme as far as the heat and stuff. So, yeah, I do. I stay in great shape, and I try to treat it like I'm an athlete. And race weekends definitely stay a lot of Pedialyte. You know, if I could get an IV, I would. But it's just, you know, I try to just make sure I concentrate on being the best I can be when it's time. You know, once a race starts, it's early breakfast, small breakfast, and then it's between runs. Unlike you guys, we have this up and down sort of, you know, you get ready, you get motivated to go make a run, and then all of a sudden you got to kind of relax in between runs, and then you go do it again. You got to do that four times on Sunday. So, you know, you got to balance that. So I'll do protein bars with very low glycemic and just try to not eat too much. And, man, I don't know. I'm not crazy fitness-wise, so I don't know what to tell you there. But I think maybe the good beers during the week get my system.
I'm with you.
It made me feel like a funny car driver, right?
Yeah, I will say I've had some of the fitness people, you know, tell me they're like, you know, you eat right, you kind of get ready, and they're like, then you go and drink beer and whiskey in the evening or something, and they're like, you kind of totally defeat the purpose. I'm like, yeah, but I can't change that part of my life. Like, that's how I wind down, you know, is having a beer every evening or something. So I'm like, yeah, to me, there's
Jim,
a give and take.
When I came into the sport, you got to remember John Forrest was dominating, right? He wasn't joking in his interviews when he said it was coffee and donuts. That's what he did. And I was like, okay, I was an athlete, but looking at that, the guy is the most dominant racer ever in funny car. There's got to be something to it, right? So I took a little bit of that and maybe a little bit of what I knew and put them together.
Yeah. Well, and I find it funny, too, because we talk about that, and I go, one of the most dominating, you know, NASCAR drivers the last 20 years. I know you were there, you know, Tony Stewart was there with Leah, but I look at Tony and go, you know, he wasn't exactly a guy that was on the treadmill every single day or doing cardio, you know, every single day. And I'm like, it worked out for Tony, so maybe there's something to say there, you know?
No, that's exactly right. And look at him now. I mean, Leah's got him in tip-top shape,
yeah.
And he's looking good. Hanging out, and he's a whole new man.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the race in general, because you talked about that and being consistent over the weekend. But I got to say, Rahan, if you had to pick a bracket, you may have picked the toughest one. I mean, you had to go through guys that are now sitting second and third in points in Tasca and John Force, and then you got J.R. Todd in the final. I mean, you want to talk about a tough one for you. you had your work cut out for you there.
Well, it's funny and it's not funny, but every time we seem to have murderer's row, when we look at the Sunday morning ladder, that's when we always end up doing well. I mean, you'd love to have, well, and I never say it, but you'd love to have some easy rounds, right? But if you think that and you say that, then these guys are going to take offense. Even the part-timers, like the kid we raced first round, Bob Bodie, I mean, they ran right next to us. If I made a mistake or a car smoked the tires a little bit, they were going to beat us. So, yeah, you're right. From then on, it was championship caliber teams. And we just seemed to, when that stuff's thrown at us, we seem to have a better day, believe it or not. So, you know, every round, when you said the points leader Tasca second round, that was huge, right? You get through that and you take a breath, you turn around, look at the ladder, and guess what? John Forrest, semifinals. And you're like, okay, well, this is going to be a huge matchup. He's right in front of us in points, and he's John Forrest. Get by him, and then it's J.R. Todd. You know, world champion, car running great, knows how to drive. And, you know, like you said, it's just one after another. So that also compared to, like you said, with the conditions, that just, man, it just made that win that much sweeter.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I know win number 67, man. I mean, I looked at that stat. I had to actually look it up. I was like, I was like, Ron Capps has got a lot of wins at this point, and it's been a while since we talked, and I looked it up and went, 67 wins, man. You ever look back at your career and go, wow, that, you know, I know you're in the middle of it, and sometimes you don't sit back and kind of look at what you've done, but 67 wins, Ron, I mean, you're up in elite company there, buddy.
Dude, I didn't think I would have one NHRA trophy or win. Seriously, I just dreamed about driving, you know, when I was a crew member. And, you know, you get one or two and you're like, okay, I could be fine retiring. And then, you know, you have these stats of, okay, you passed Don Prudhomme, you passed Joe Amato. They start naming all this stuff off when it happens. And you just, it blows me away that my name's even listed like that. And that number 67, it seems so far out of reach. You know, even when I was Larry Dixon's teammate, he had tons of wins. And I looked at that at the time, and I was like, wow, man, I can't even imagine having that many wins. And now here I am. So, yeah, it's crazy. You know how it is. You get so into what you're doing when you're actually racing, you don't stop and put your head up and look around because you feel like you're going to lose a step to the competition. But it's fun to have the documented stuff and have guys like you say that. You know, it's a reminder of just how cool it's been and how good of people I've had around me.
Yeah. Well, in the near term, I mean, obviously, you know, you knocked out Task and you knocked out Force. That puts you now, I believe, with a 5-point lead, you know, in the point standings. And obviously you got Force and Task kind of right there. But, you know, looking at that, I mean, obviously it seems like the team, I know DSR as a whole, you guys have been on fire lately. Obviously you shared wins with Leah this weekend. We've had AB with a win recently, you know, and Hagen taking a win as well. I feel like, you know, you as a whole are hitting your stride. I think DSR is hitting your stride. And I mean, I guess if there was a time to get hot, it would be about right now, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I almost felt like I was jinxing our team because I kept saying, okay, a win's coming. And you know, this is a brand-new team for me this year. My longtime crew chief retired in January, and I was put together with what was Jack Beckman's old team. Great guys, it just felt right. But we've lost some close races, and I knew we got a great car. I mean, we've had four number one qualifiers, and I don't think I've had four number one qualifiers in the last 4 years, maybe, with my old crew chief. He was more of a race day kind of guy, and he didn't go up there and grab the pole like Guido, my crew chief now, and John Medlin. So, yeah, it's been different, but I kept saying, man, I know this car. It's a great car. It's going to come. But then it didn't, you know, and I'm like, maybe I should shut up and not say that until it happens. But lo and behold, it, you know, finally did. So, yeah, I think this is perfect timing. We're coming to what I consider some of my funnest races and Kansas and Brainerd, Minnesota, and then roll into Indy, and then boom, our playoff starts. So yeah, we are, I think, hitting at the right time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you kind of talk about that. You knew you had a good car. And, you know, the thing that blows my mind about NHRA, and IndyCar's close and NASCAR's close, but NHRA, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, thousandths of a second and millimeters and things like that. It's just, to me, like the closest. You can have a good car, but it doesn't mean you're going to, you know, be in the winner, you know, taking home the Wally at the end of the weekend. Like, to me, that's what's so amazing about NHRA. And I think sometimes the fans at home, you know, it's amazing to watch on TV, but being there and then actually looking at what the teams are doing behind the scenes, things like that, it's just, to me, it's mind-blowing the tolerances and how close everything actually is, Ron.
Yeah, and, you know, I have some, it's hard to make a comparison, but I look at it like a great chef. You can give somebody, you could pull 10 chefs and say, all right, we're going to have you all make a soup, the best soup in the world to you. And they're all going to grab their ingredients that are given to them, and they are all going to make their soup a little bit different. And you're going to go down the line, you're going to go, holy cow, that's good. And then you go to the next one, you go, man, that's good too, right? So you have these 10 crew chiefs with these parts to make 11,000 horsepower, you know, 18 gallons of nitromethane to pour in the tank. And it's amazing that we can all go up there and go 330 miles per hour and be within a tenth or a thousandth of each other with completely different ways that they tune that race car. And they are all different. You might have two guys next to each other, the same parts, but they all approach it differently. And that's the way I kind of look at it. And it's an amazing thing. They are truly rocket scientists, I believe. You know, these guys make this much horsepower. And how do you get these Goodyear tires to stick to a track that's 150 degrees and go 0 to 300 miles per hour? Just is mind-boggling, especially when you're hanging on to the steering wheel. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's what makes our sport so great. And, again, this kid I raced first round, he's going to college right now, Bob Bodie. And he gets to go on weekends and drive a nitro funny car for his dad. And I get out of the car after beating him, and he goes, dude, I didn't sleep last night. I'm racing Ron Capps. And I go, are you kidding me? I was nervous that you were going to beat me. Like, so, yeah, it's just it's what makes our sport so great.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I tell everybody this. I'm like, you can watch on TV. You can follow everybody on social media. I love NHRA because it's got some of the best personalities in all of motorsports. I love the personalities around the NHRA. And I'm like, you can see that on TV. But I'm like, if you actually get somebody physically to an NHRA event and the atmosphere and the fact that they can go up, they can meet Ron Capps. You're not, you know, you're not hiding behind, you know, a bunch of ropes and things like that. And people got to line up at a certain time and buy tickets to meet you. You know, they walk up and meet you, but the experience of a Top Fuel or a funny car and that hit to the chest and your eyes are burning and your lungs are burning. And I mean, there's just something about that I haven't ever seen one person go to an NHRA event and went, man, that sucks. I didn't like that. Like, it's like, when do we get to do this again? You know? And I feel like that's the greatest thing about NHRA is you don't get that experience in any other motorsport.
No, man, you're so right. And then once somebody has seen it live and then they watch it on TV, it's a different deal. You know, it really, you look at it differently. And that's why I love having all my hero rock stars, people that I look up to, and I love their music, and I go to their concerts, and then you have them out and sort of give them a taste of being next to the stage at a Metallica concert or something. Yeah. And it's hilarious because it's sort of the same thing. Like this weekend we had the Lawrence kids, supercross, motocross riders, yeah. Right? These kids are fearless, Leonard and Jet, and here they are standing at the starting line, just blown away, and that's all they've talked about since then. And these are kids flying, you know, 50 feet through the air at a supercross track, and so that was fun to turn them on to something really cool for the weekend and have them stand behind the nitro car and get a dose of nitro and eyes water and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've always told everybody. If you ever get the opportunity to stand on the water box for Funny Car or for Top Fuel, I'm like, it will change your life. And I mean that in a good way. Like, it's just the most I can't even explain the sensations you get, you know, through your body. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's otherworldly almost, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So, well, Ron, it is always fun catching up, my friend. We are just about up against the time break, but before we do, want to ask, I know you spent a lot of time on the iRacing service, obviously NHRA back in full swing, but you've been playing on the sim at all lately?
Yeah, I've been doing this Monday night thing with a whole bunch of NASCAR drivers and some TV people, and, you know, it's different cars, different tracks every week. So that's been fun to look forward to on a Monday night. I'm kind of waiting for you to get us back in the off-road trucks, man. That was one of the funnest series that we've done through COVID, was getting in those things and battling some of the best in the world. And yeah, I get on as often. Now the season's going, it's a little less, but I still love getting home and sitting on the sim and hopping in and racing with all the other racers.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I feel like COVID and the whole pandemic, if there was any good that came out of it, I think the sim racing community definitely grew. And I know we got another event coming up later this month. I was actually going to email you on, but yeah, I mean, I can't believe our events. I think we've got maybe TV lined up for all three of our events next year. But, you know, that being said, like, just the whole sim racing community as a whole, I feel like so many people went to iRacing when this was going on because we couldn't, you know, race our regular race vehicles and tracks were closed, things like that. And I think it's been so good for the iRacing community. You've been a part of the community for a very long time, but, you know, to be able to bring in these other personalities from other motorsports and just have them there and, you know, expose people to the community that, you know, you and many others have slowly helped build over the last decade, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was there at the inception. I was one of the beta testers for iRacing. And so watching it grow and then, you know, there's a lot going on through COVID, a lot of, you know, just hard to get through. But I got to tell you, I mean, it probably saved my life. My wife says that all the time. To wake up in the morning and have a race that I had to go practice for because it was going to air on TV later, It helped me because here we were locked down. There was no racing going on. So, I mean, it was just a lifesaver for me to be able to go out and do that. And we almost had 1 million viewers on the first couple of TV races. So it was nuts that here we were racing and people were tuning in TV to watch us race online in virtual cars. So, you know, I was very happy for iRacing, but it was very cool for our fans at least to have something to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was good for not only the racers but the fans as well, and it gave everybody something to look forward to, and it's about all you can ask. But I got to tell you, I am definitely looking forward to the remainder of the NHRA calendar, my friend, leading the points. You know, it's going to be fun to watch this one play out in Funny Car.
Yeah, you know, our boy Antron Brown, they're hitting their stride. I think it's going to be, hopefully, we can get DSR and Don Schumacher up to the top here before the season's over.
Yep. Well, Ron, it has been fun catching up, and we'll definitely chat soon, buddy.
You got it, man. Thanks.
And Ron Capps, always fun to catch up. The legend, one of the greatest of all time to ever drive a drag race car in the NHRA. You know, great to have him on the show. I am headed out to Sturgis. I'm going to be doing a show on site with Fistful of Bourbon. You're in the Sturgis area. Hit me up on social media at JimBeaver15. Let me know. I'd love to meet up with friends of the show. Once again, go to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button, leave a rating or review. And don't forget, if you own or rent your home, we all know it's hard work, but you know it's not? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. With that, I am signing off. You guys have a great week, even better weekend. Be safe out there. And if you're out at Sturgis, we'll see you there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!